You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. If you're there, say amen. If you need more time, say I never read my Bible. Everybody's there. It says, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go out against him, this Philistine, to fight with him, for you are only a youth or a boy, and he is a man of war since his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant is used to keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took the lamb from the flock, I went after it and I struck it, and I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. The title of this message tonight is Lions and Bears. Let's pray, Youth for the Nation. Father, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you that your presence is already here. Father, I thank you for 25 years, Lord, of prayer and fasting and seeking your face. And Lord, I pray, God, for those years that have been sowed into it to begin to manifest now, Father, in this critical time in our country, in our generation. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would speak, God. I declare, Father, you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand. Lord, we declare that your word is the highest authority. Jesus, your name is the highest authority, and we submit to it now. Father, I ask you right now to begin to move in this place. Holy Spirit, this is your place. Have your way in this place. We declare, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We love you, King Jesus, and everybody who's in love with God said amen. And amen. Have your way, Holy Spirit. The Lord began to speak to me about 2015. And he said, 2015 is a year of deliverance. But before I talk about 2015, I want to talk about 2014. And before you guys, we go anywhere tonight, I want to encourage you, if you don't already do this, begin to ask God to speak to you about what your year looks like. Even in high school, I started doing this, and every time I'd ask the Lord to speak to me, he would speak to me about something, and it would absolutely change my life. I remember the year I asked him what the year was about, and he said multiplication, and that was the year I met and married my wife. It was powerful. And if you begin to do this, what will happen is you'll begin to set an expectation for God to do amazing things that year. So 2014, I got the most clearest word probably I've ever got. And he said, the year 2014 is a year of righteousness. And when he told me, I was excited because I already told you I grew up in church, and I'm very familiar with the things of God and topics like that. But what I learned is you can be familiar with something without having the revelation of it. And so I began to study and look at righteousness, and what I found absolutely changed my life. Pastor JC, when I mean changed my life, I mean absolutely every part of my life, from financially to ministerially. I heard God more clearly than I've ever heard in my entire life. And he spoke to me and he said, don't do any television shows. Don't do any prophetic conferences. Don't write any books. He said, your only assignment for this year is to preach righteousness. And when I began to study righteousness, I found that there are over 1,000 scriptures on righteousness. And one that stuck out to me more than anything else was found in Matthew 6:33. You know it. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Go ahead and put it up on the screen. And it says, and everything else will be added to you. The problem with that is every time I heard this scripture quoted, I heard it like this: seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added. In fact, when people post it on Facebook or when they say it in prayers over and over, just even actually a couple of weeks ago, I heard a pastor quote it like that: seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added. And all of a sudden, I started noticing that that main scriptures, people started taking out the word righteousness from them. Things like they would say, you may fall seven times, but the Lord will pick you back up. That's not what the word says. It says that you may fall seven times, but the righteous he will pick back up. I started seeing righteousness absolutely everywhere, from a breastplate of righteousness to you're called to walk the path of righteousness to the righteous walk by faith, and if he shrinks back, he won't delight in him. It says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I started seeing it everywhere. Then I started seeing anytime there was a righteous man or woman of God, you would see a demonstration of God's power, like God or like Abraham crying out for Sodom, a city that was known for grotesque immorality, and God said, I'll spare it. And every time he cried out, he said, would you spare it for 50 righteous, 40 righteous? He got down all the way down to 10 righteous. And every time God said, I will spare it for righteousness, because righteousness is what will save a generation. You see, a guy like Noah, who the Bible says was righteous in his generation, four different times. And God wanted to use a righteous man to save humanity. You see, a guy like Job, who everybody thinks Job's the saddest sob story in the Bible. And when people are going through stuff in their life, they come compare him to Job. But that's not what the story of Job's about. Job is a black eye on Satan before Jesus' knockout punch. The Bible says that God introduced Satan and Job. Satan never said Job's name. I love saying this, young people. You can't read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. That means first you have to start reading the Bible. Satan didn't say Job's name. God did. He said, Satan, are you tired of messing with the prayerless, faithless, tithless, church hopping, girlfriend running around Christians? Are you tired of messing with them? Why don't you focus on my boy Job? There's nobody like him. And then I love what Satan said. Satan said, you've put a hedge of protection around him, and there's nothing I can do about it. First of all, I'm like, whoa, if God's handing out hedges of protections, where do I get one? Second of all, you can't just read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. Watch Satan saying, you put a hedge of protection. There's nothing I can do about it. Listen, there's nothing the enemy can do about a righteous generation that will put God first and flee from evil. Righteousness changed my DNA. Physically, I felt something change in me. I felt a shift in my spirit. Youth pastors, we're going to talk about this more tomorrow. I felt a shift in me. Something physically changed. And then the Lord showed me in the scripture where Jesus took that spit and he grabbed mud and he put it in the man's eyes. And the blind man began to see. And then the Lord showed me he took his spit, or who watches those forensic file shows? He took his spit or his DNA and he took his dysfunctional DNA and replaced it with heaven's DNA, because righteousness is the DNA of heaven. Guys, I'm telling you, righteousness is an absolute game changer, and it's what this generation knows nothing about. The only thing I hear youth pastors talking about is a new unbiblical definition of grace every other week, and not holiness, purity, and the righteousness that shakes generations and sets them free. I asked the Lord on a Saturday, I said, Father, speak to me about 2015. And on Sunday, I heard the Lord speak to me. I was preaching in Michigan, and the moment I sat down, I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, 2015 is your year of deliverance. I was excited. Heather's book's coming out. I have a new book on the topic of homosexuality that's coming out this year. I'm doing a prophetic conference in San Francisco. We have all of these focuses that need the deliverance power of Jesus. I was so excited about it. And then on Monday, I was at the gym on the treadmill reading my daily Bible. Because young people, if you don't read your Bible daily, you're not going to make it. And I wasn't studying to preach. I wasn't studying to minister. I was just reading my Bible for Landon. And I happened to be in Psalms 31, because I read Psalms just about every day. And I happened to be in Psalms 31. And Psalms 31:1 says, put it up on the screens. It says this. It says, you deliver me in your righteousness. And the moment I read that, I started getting goosebumps all over. And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me on that treadmill. And he said this. He said, righteousness is the setup for deliverance. So watch, on Saturday, I asked God to speak to me. On Sunday, he said deliverance. On Monday, he confirmed in his word. And what I've been preaching for the last year was the setup for the new word that God has for me. And I believe it's a prophetic word for you and your generation tonight, that this is the year of deliverance. So what does deliverance actually look like? Deliverance is used 397 times in the Word of God. The word deliver is used 86 times. It comes from the word soteria, which means deliverance, salvation, welfare, prosperity, deliverance, preservation, salvation, or safety. We see throughout the Word of God deliverance from enemies, deliverance from demonic forces and demon activities. We see deliverance from sickness. We see deliverance from addictive behaviors. But out of everything for deliverance, the thing that stuck out to me the absolute most is this, is that the same word for deliverance is where we get the same word saved. And then it hit me. The same God that saves us, by the same power, he delivers us. So why do we have so many individuals that claim to be saved, that love God, that have given their life to the Lord, that are still walking around bound, that are still walking around with addictions, that are still walking in bondage? Somewhere down the line, we thought that we can be living for God without being completely 100% delivered. I saw a youth pastor a while ago tweet. He said, hey, you don't have to keep coming down to the altar to get saved. You're already saved. And I was grieved in my spirit when he said it, because maybe young people aren't coming down to the altar to get saved. Maybe they're coming down because they need to get delivered. Maybe they're coming to the altar because they're still dealing with the pornography addiction. Maybe they're coming down to the altar because they're still torn by a same-sex attraction. Maybe they're coming down to the altar because they still have this pride and lust issues or these fear issues that they're dealing with. Maybe they're still being tormented by demonic dreams and demonic influences around them. Maybe it's not a salvation issue. Maybe it's there's no deliverance. I'm reminded in Mark chapter 9, there was a father of a boy who was filled with a demonic spirit, and he went to the disciples and he asked the disciples to cast out the demon, and the Bible says that the disciples couldn't do it. So he goes to Jesus and he said, I asked your disciples to cast out this devil, but they could not do it. He said, can you cast it out if you can? PowerPoint people, put those scriptures up so people could see them. And he said this, I asked them to cast them out, but they couldn't do it. I felt in my spirit that this is the state of majority of churches in America. The disciples of Jesus that happen to be in churches haven't been able to cast out the demons. They haven't been able to deliver a generation. So instead of walking in deliverance, instead of casting out demons, we're now naming demons. I saw on Instagram, there's a fad going on where young people are inviting a demon named Charlie to come and play with them. Oh, you've seen it too. So instead of casting Charlie out, we're asking Charlie to come and play. And it's a funny game that people are seeing on Instagram. And then a bunch of people are saying, well, that's not real. You can scientifically prove this or scientifically prove that. Listen, there's no science for inviting demonic activities to come into your life. So you wonder why. Why am I dealing with the depression? Well, I asked Charlie to come and play with me, and Charlie has brought his friends. Why am I dealing with this oppression? Why do I have this fear? Why am I constantly being tempted with things I never knew I didn't struggle with before? Because we've named our demons. See, this is the state the church is in. That we're now playing with demons. We're living with demons rather than casting them out. We're in a generation that we need deliverance. Pastor JC, I've been saying for the last year and a half, the prophet said in Isaiah, a day is coming where men will call good evil and evil good. I've been saying that the day that before that is when we stop calling evil, evil. And I want to let you know, young people, that dawn has set. We are living in the day where we call good evil and evil good. Just ask the Kardashians. You don't have to clap. That's okay. We're living in a day that if you stand up for what God says, if when you give love speech, they call it hate speech. We need deliverance. We're living in the day where if you stand up and say God says, they say don't judge. When you stand up and say this is what God's word says, they say, oh, you're just a hater, or you're just this, or you're legalistic. Listen, young people, hear me. I love you. Let me speak this into your life. It's never legalistic to live a holy life.
We want to know what can we do, Pastor, and how can I live, and how far can I go with my boyfriend and girlfriend, and what's okay and what's not okay, and aren't we saved by a never-ending grace, and we can do what we want and say what we want and live how we want, and won't God just love us anyway, and God loves us no matter what. Listen, hear me, young people, and we've made this gospel about if God loves us, because watch, he loves us. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. He's already proved that. The question is do you love him? No, listen, hear me. Jesus has already proved his love for you. Have you proved your love for him? Jesus says, if you love me, you will. Oh, we're in trouble. The word says, if you love me, you obey me. Hear me, young people, but it's impossible to obey him when you never read his word. So what happens is you have some jacked up guy on Twitter and Instagram telling you what God's word says rather than ever reading it for yourself, so you never even know what God says. So they say, well, you could love, God loves anyway. You could do anything that you want. And if you got attractions to these people, if you got attractions to those people, and he's a God of love and he loves everybody. He just wants you to be happy. Come on, somebody. I want to let you know that God loves everybody. The question is do we love him? The question is, are we going to follow after him? The question is, are we going to pick up our cross, deny ourselves? And I hear it all the time. Well, Pastor Landon, you know, I can't help with what I'm attracted to. I know you can't, but you can help how you respond to whatever you're tempted to. I hear it all the time. Pastor Landon, don't you understand? A lot of young people were born that way. I say this, you know what? It doesn't matter how we were born, because the Bible says we got to be born again. Listen, it doesn't matter what our addiction is. It doesn't matter what you're being tempted with. Listen. Hear me, young people. If you don't stand on God's word, you're going to stand on nothing. You're going to stand on some hotshot preacher's opinion. And you're going to be in a world of trouble. Listen, our generation needs deliverance. We don't need any more stories. We don't need any more hype. We don't need any more preachers in skinny jeans. Maybe they're coming down to the altar over and over, youth pastor, because there's no power in your ministry. Maybe because it's been about an entertainment culture rather than a prayer culture. Man, I had the most amazing respect for Pastor JC when he stood up and just shifted the entire atmosphere of this conference and said, it's not about entertainment, it's about the presence. No one does that. No one does that. You know what I mean? How long people planned and prepared and got ready, and the weeks of practices and getting ready for an opening presentation to impress? Shifted the entire atmosphere. I feel in my spirit right now, Pastor JC, what you did, the seed you sowed at the beginning of this first night is going to affect every single week of YFN. Listen, it's not about building a cooler ministry. It's not about having a cooler name. It's not about having a cooler stupid hat. Look at our jackets don't matter. Our fashion doesn't matter. Listen, none of that stuff is going to change a generation. The only thing that matters, listen, is you walk in the power and the authority that only comes through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, we care too much about how many friends you have, who follows you, or who likes your dumb picture. Listen, young people, we are walking down a dangerous path because in this whole social media dynamic that's been created, listen, it's been built on a system of popularity. So if Jesus warns us that they will hate us and persecute us and say all kinds of evil things about us, when do you think that begins to happen? Oh, maybe it's when you start quoting what Jesus says. Maybe it's when you start quoting what the Bible says. Maybe, listen, it's when you start taking a stand for righteousness. Do you know in God's word, righteousness is the only thing we're persecuted for? If you're not being persecuted, maybe you're not walking in a complete righteousness. Listen, young people, deliverance is the essence of all our faith does. Everywhere Jesus went, people were delivered. Everywhere the disciples went, they were delivered. Peter's shadow would just fall upon someone and they'd be delivered from their ailments.
Where is that in our youth ministry? Where is that in our services? Why is it so weird and we have to go on a missions trip to Africa to see people get demons cast out of them? Are there no demons in America? Or do we have so much medication and so much help from doctors and so much great theology that we don't need demons casting them out because we've named them and we like them? I pray I never preach a popular message. I pray I preach heaven's heart. And watch, even when Jesus is teaching us how to pray, he says, and deliver us from evil in the Lord's Prayer. It should be a part of your prayer life. It should be a part of every single part of your life. Psalms 31:1 says, you deliver me in your righteousness. Put verse 5 up on the screen if you would. Then verse 5, it says this. David's praying and he says, to you, O Lord, I commit my spirit. Now you can't just read the Bible, you have to. Come on, you can't just read the Bible, you have to. Young people, if you get anything, please start reading your Bible. I know I've said it twice already, but there's no substitute for it. If the only time you read it is up on a screen, you're in whole trouble. I'm reading the Bible. Put it back up there, would you? Psalms 31:5. And it says, to you, O Lord, I commit my spirit. Now, I read Psalms almost every single day. I read the Bible multiple times every single year. And what I love about reading God's word is you can read a scripture 1,000 times. When the Holy Spirit breathes upon it, he's speaking something new, even though the doctrine doesn't change. And it stands out to me. I recognize those words. Those are the prayers of... a couple more people reading their Bible. Those are the prayers of Jesus when he's suspended on the cross and he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and he offers up the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the craziest part. I've been preaching since I'm 14 years old, and I never even realized that David prayed it. I only knew Jesus prayed it. I never caught it. I never paid attention to it before. So now all of a sudden I could feel it, my discernment. Some of you prophetic people and those that move in the Holy Spirit, some of you know when you read something and it just pops out at you. It comes alive. It's like a picture book that pops out. And I could feel it. Something's there. So I started praying about it. I started praying in the Holy Spirit. Young people, if you don't know, do this. Praying in the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest spiritual weapons you have. I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm in Nordstrom's and I'm praying for God to speak to me, and I'm praying Heather doesn't spend all my money. And I'm thinking about this. Why is Jesus praying the prayer David prayed? Why is David praying the prayer Jesus, but David prayed it first? And I'm looking at this and now I'm thinking, well, what's the difference between David and Jesus? And I'm just praying in the Holy Spirit. The difference between David and Jesus is that Jesus was born of the Spirit, but he became flesh. Jesus, the Bible says, was born of the Spirit, but he became flesh. The Word became flesh in Jesus. Then you see, like in Matthew chapter 4, that Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. You start seeing scriptures that every time Jesus did something, he did what the Spirit told him to do. He went where the Spirit led him. Even when his mom was trying to get him to do a miracle, the Spirit hadn't given him permission to do it yet, so he hadn't done anything yet. He only lived a Spirit life. Then you have David. We're born of the flesh. We must be reborn of our spirit. You have David, who walked in the Spirit some of the time, but then walked in the flesh some of time. For example, when David was walking in the Spirit, he was slaying giants. When he was walking in the flesh, he was slaying husbands. It's kind of like us, right? When we're at YFN, we're walking in the Spirit. But what happens when we're home on Friday night? Come on, somebody. You see a guy like Peter, who, when he's walking in the Spirit, he's walking on water. When he's walking in the flesh, he's cutting off ears. You see, Peter, when he's walking in the Spirit, he's saying, you are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. When he's walking in the flesh, he's cussing out a little teenage girl, saying, I never knew the man. See, the difference between Jesus and Peter is Jesus was Spirit all the time, and David was Spirit some of the time. I asked the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I said, Father, speak to me. I know something's there with David, with Jesus, with flesh, with spirit. And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me. I heard that still small whisper that I love of the Holy Spirit. It's my favorite thing in life. And he said this. He said, deliverance is when your flesh follows your spirit. Watch. Jesus was led by the Spirit all the time. So why are we not seeing deliverance in our life, in our ministry, in our families, in our churches? Because we're not led by the Spirit all the time. Hear me, young people. When you are led by the flesh, you're allowing those things to have permission and access into your life. Deliverance is when your flesh follows your spirit. Let's go back to David for a moment. So David was led by the Spirit, he won. But when he was led by the flesh, he lost. Tonight I want to talk about David and his lions and his bears. David was led into the wilderness to fight his flesh. Hear this, young people. Before David fought Goliath, he fought his flesh with lions and bears. The flesh or the wilderness is the place where you fight the flesh. The wilderness is the place where the anointing is pressed. The wilderness, the fields, is the place where the prophets are forged. Listen, the wilderness is a place of loneliness. The field where David was, that is the place of loneliness. Someone's about ready to enter into a field tonight. Hear this word, young people. In our generation, that everyone wants more likes and more followers. The field is a place where no one will follow you. The fields of lions and bears is the place where it's just you and your God. With you, hear it, in your temptations. With you and your battles, with you and your strongholds. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said this. He said, 2015 is the year of lions and bears. It's a year of personal deliverance. This is the year where you deal with the things that have tempted you your entire life. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 17:33. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine and fight with him, for you are only a youth. Man. Let me rephrase this. It's okay if you're dealing with pornography. All young men do it. It's okay if you have low self-esteem. All girls do. It's okay if you're sleeping with your boyfriend and girlfriend. It's completely normal. It's okay if you have same-sex attractions. You know, the world's celebrating it. Even our president's tweeting about it. It's okay. Whatever makes you feel good, it's okay. You can't deal with these lions and bears. You can't deal with giants. You're only a youth. And here's what David said. He said, but verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb of the flock and he went after it, I went after it, I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. You can't just read the Bible, you have to read the Bible. I was praying into this scripture this week and I was asking the Holy Spirit to speak to me on your behalf. It just jumped out at my spirit. He went and struck the lion and bear and pulled the lamb from its mouth. What is the lamb? That's the people of God. What is the mouth of the lion and bear? Listen, it's the words of the world. Listen, when we deal with the lions and the bears, we deal with the lies of the world into our life. It's the lies that say you're going to have to deal with this your entire life. It's the lies that say this is completely normal and you're never going to walk in freedom. It's the lies that say you just have to live with this forever. It's the lies that say this is normal and natural. It's the lies that say you're never going to accomplish anything. You can't do anything. Just wait for somebody who's older than you. Just wait for somebody that's got more experience than you. You can't do it. The lies of the world. He said, I went after it and I snatched every word and took it captive. A scripture that came up in my spirit is Paul says it's not with wise or persuasive words, but it's with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Listen, and that's the only thing that we're going to need to win this generation. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Watch. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hands of the Philistine. Listen, David was a worshiper and he knew how to worship. He spent time in God's word. He spent time in prayer. He spent time in the presence of God. So he knew, listen, he said, I already dealt with my lion and bear. He said, now I have faith I can deal with your giant. The Lord spoke to me and said, 2015 is the year of the lion and the bear. And in 2016, it's going to be a year of our nation's giants. Listen, hear me, young people. This is your year of deliverance. Whatever you're bound with, whatever you're tempted with, whatever you're dealing with, this is the year where God sets you free. Listen, hear me, young people. It's time that we stop preaching and singing about freedom and we walk in it. This is the year, let me put it this way, this is the night that you get delivered. This is the moment where you experience supernatural deliverance. Because watch this. If this year we deal with lions and bears, I heard it prophetically. And in 2016, listen, we're going to begin to start dealing with our nation's giants. But we won't be ready for the giants if we don't deal with lions and bears. Listen, first you deal with your lions and bears. First you deal with your deliverance. Then you start helping your friends with their deliverance, your family with their deliverance. Listen, your church with their deliverance. If I got the worship team, start making their way back up here. This is the year of deliverance. This is the year of the lion and the bear. This is the year where the personal things that we're going through, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we conquer them. David received deliverance for himself, which was the lion and the bear. And then he was able to deal with his nation's giants. This is how a generation is going to slay demonic giants, as we have faith through our lions and bears. I love this. Let's look at God's word. Verse 41 of Psalms, or 1 Samuel 17. Says, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer was in front of them. He kept coming closer to David. Let's play that song I asked you in the back. He looked at David over and he saw that he was just a boy, glowing in health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you've come with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David and his gods. Come here, he said. I love God's word. And I will give you the flesh. I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. You can't just read this, you have to read it. He threatened David's flesh. But the problem was, David already dealt with his flesh with lions and bears. You know what will rock your generation? It's when you look at a young man in his eyes who's struggling with the dark sin, and you say, God delivered me, and he's about to deliver you. See, that's why the word says you're delivered, you're set free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Listen, the giant was trying to intimidate his flesh. Hear me, young people. But when you don't care about how many followers you have or who reposts or who retweets, when you don't care what they say about you, when you make yourself of no reputation, what happens is, what happens is you don't care what they say or how they respond. They only care about your generation being set free. Listen, when you deal with your flesh, when you crucify your flesh, when you lay it down at the altar, when you give it to God, when you begin to follow the Spirit and don't let your flesh lead you anymore, the problem is you can't be intimidated by a lion or a bear or a giant or kids at school or people on social media or no matter what they say about you when you've already dealt with it. I love this. No one knew who David was until they experienced his God's deliverance. Youth pastor, you say, my youth church is not growing. Get one kid delivered. Watch what happens. Get the captain of the football team who's the biggest perv in this school set free and delivered and see what happens in that high school. Listen, see what happens when the power of God begins to set people free once and for all. This is the year of deliverance. And YFN, I came to tell you tonight, a generation is waiting on you to be delivered. A generation is waiting on you. Listen, their freedom, hear this, rests in your deliverance. Their freedom rests in your ability tonight, this year, to take on your lions and bears. Notice there was a multiple, that it didn't just go away the first time. When a lion came, he took by the mane and he saved the lamb and he struck it down. When a bear came, listen, I hear it all the time, Pastor Landon, and am I going to have to be tempted with this my entire life? Am I going to have to live with this my entire life? And I always respond the same way, no, when you crucify it. This is the year of supernatural deliverance. This is the year where once and for all, it's set free. I feel this so strong in my spirit prophetically. There's individuals in here tonight that your parents have struggled with things, your grandparents have struggled with things, and you feel like you're struggling with the exact same things that are in your family. This is the moment where that chain begins to break. This is the night where that thing dies. This is the night where Jesus has victory. This is the night of deliverance. I want to prophetically declare this over you tonight. The Lord has told me to preach it and declare it everywhere I go, that this is the year of deliverance. This is the year addictions lose their flavor. This is the year that perversion has no permission. This is the year that fear bows to faith. This is the year that lust is starved through fasting. This is the year generosity is greater than greed. This is the year insecurity is evicted because Christ lives in me. This is the year sexual identity will be seen through the eyes of God's word, not through the eyes of man's word. This is the year grace will not be redefined. This is the year forgiveness is no longer optional. This is the year that the flesh is crucified because the King of righteousness rules and reigns in my life. Hear it, YFN. This is the year of the lion and the bear. Get ready to experience deliverance. I know you don't know me, and that's okay. But we know the same God. And I want those that intercessors that Pastor JC started talking about to begin to just to intercede right now, right where you're at. Some of you have been doing it for weeks and months preparing up to this, but I believe that this is one of the moments for it. I felt this unction in me the entire week. I just couldn't wait to get here, and I travel and preach full time. I do this all the time, but there was something significant about tonight. There was something particular about tonight. I just felt it. I couldn't even wait till the service got started. I just had this anxiousness in me all night because I knew that tonight was your night. I knew that this was the moment where you stop believing the lie. I just heard my spirit. Some of you, your parents, oh wow, your parents have aligned their words with demonic words, speaking things that are unbiblical and not godly over your life. By the power of Jesus, with the unction of the Holy Spirit, I pray that those are released off your mind now. Parents don't mean to do it all the time, but they don't know when Jezebel's spirits are talking. They just align their words with them. This is the year of deliverance. This is the moment of deliverance. You don't have to deal with this thing your whole life. You don't have to live this way. Wow, youth pastors, I feel this so strong. You're about to get delivered of those things that you've been carrying as you're a teenager. And the moment you get delivered, revival is going to explode in your youth ministry. Listen, there's no strategy to it. It's heaven's DNA. God's things multiply. I heard this so strong. Youth pastors, you're about to get delivered of the secret things, the lonely things with lions and bears. Whoa. And you tried to fight giants without facing lions and bears. And like the seven sons of Sceva, you've been beat down. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit so strong. But like Pastor JC prophesied, this is the Genesis, or it's the back to the beginning of the fight. And you're going back to the battleground. Oh, I just felt it going through my bones. There is a holy demonic fear. Wow. I even feel like you're going to see an in-spike of crime, even in the city of Dallas. Just demons are going to flee and are going to begin to corrupt because of what's loosening in this area. The Holy Spirit's ministering right now. Even while you're at, the Holy Spirit's been ministering. Some of you have been just had this fear. You know, anytime you feel fear, you know the enemy is resisting what the God's about to do. It's like the demons begin to shake when Jesus came. They begged him not to cast them out, to send them into the pigs, to send them somewhere else, because demons get nervous. Watch, on the doorstep of deliverance. Some of you have been nervous even all night. There's just been this unnervousness about it because the things that have been tormenting you are about to be evicted. All right, I know you don't know me, but you don't have to clap or shout anymore. Now this is a moment of your deliverance. Many of you are going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight. Many of you are getting called into ministry tonight. I felt that I was showering, getting ready to come here, and I heard the Holy Spirit said, tonight I'm calling lawyers and politicians into my mission field. God is going to send some of you on assignment to law school. Oh. And in courts, you are going to war against giants in our nation. I heard it so strong. You're going to war, in political offices. I feel it strong in my spirit that there's going to be individuals in this room that are part of the Senate. And God is confirming the desire that's been in your heart, and you've been conflicted because you've wanted to do ministry, but you feel this call to politics, and you felt like you didn't want to abandon the call of God on your life. And the Lord sent a young prophetic voice to tell you it's not abandoning the call of God, it's aligning with the call of God on your life. If you feel God, stand to your feet. If you feel God, stand to your feet. If you feel the Holy Spirit, begin to stand to your feet and just begin to pray. Come on, this is where you forget about who's your friend, who's sitting next to you. This is the moment where you forget about what's at home or that stupid boyfriend and girlfriend that you shouldn't be with anyway. This is the moment where you forget distractions and everything's around you and what you're doing later tonight and your problems. This is the moment where you stand in the presence of God and you make a decision. This is the moment where you tell demons that they do not have authority over you any longer. Turn this up. This is the moment where you stop hiding your secrets. This is the moment where you become transparent before the things of God. This is the moment of deliverance.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.